It's time to take you on the road to 2023. Welcome to our flagship program covering the 2023 elections. Happening every Saturday by 8 a.m., we bring updates on the elections from the candidates to the voting and other related issues. Now, this morning, we'll be looking at INEC in focus. How prepared is the commission for the forthcoming elections? How much confidence do you have in the commission's ability to actually do its duty? My guest is Obunna Nwuke. He joins us. He's a journalist, a newspaper publisher, and public affairs analyst. He began his career as a broadcast journalist at Radio Rivers, Port Hackett in 1978. Served as director, press affairs to the Governor, Commissioner for Information and Communications, and also Commissioner for Commerce, Industry, and former member of the National Assembly. He joins me via the phone. Good morning, Mr. Nwuke. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right, so let's head straight to it. It's been quite a busy week for political actors. I don't know if your radio is on. Can you please turn it off? Hello?
I'm not at the radio, but I can hear you.
Okay. So, INEC has revealed that it delisted 1.1 million fresh registrants ahead of the 2023 general elections. What are your thoughts on the over 1 million invalid registrations by INEC?
Well, I believe that INEC does have reason to do what it has done. Frankly, if you don't register, you're out. If you want to cheat, you're out. And so, frankly, I think that going forward, INEC would very much want to have voters participate in the electoral process.
Okay.
And if for any reason people have double registered, the law says clearly that you're out. You cannot afford to cheat. We want to have voters are registered. We want to have voters are legit. We don't want to have cheat in the process. If INEC has delisted, say, about a million people, it is because going through his records, going through his database, it knows that some person may have to register. And for that reason, yes, if you are under 8 and you're not supposed to be registered, there's no way you can vote. So all of those things are considerations going forward as INEC tries to
Okay, well, there is the perception of the electorate of some foul play. You know, people are feeling disenfranchised. Some are already saying it's INEC's fault and all of that. What do you make of the position of those who share the sentiment?
There are rules of engagement in every game. And what INEC had to do was open its doors to those who wanted to participate in the political process. And of course, like I said, there are rules. If you registered before, there's no need for you to register again. If you're under 8 and you're not supposed to be part of the political process, you should not be captured. We need to look at what plays out when the process begins. When INEC officials get the villages, to the unions, to the wards, to get people registered. Of course, you cannot rule out the fact that amongst the people, there always have been attempts to manipulate the process, you know. There are people who want to up their registration statistics. There are people who want to do all kinds of things so that they can influence the political process. But I think we should be saying that thank you to INEC for being able, bold enough. Even when you say INEC may have made mistakes, they're being bold enough for not to have mistakes is a virtue, not a vice. And for me, I just say that it is indicative of its efforts as an organization to ensure that we really truly have free and fair elections. my take on it. And I think that Alex shouldn't be crucified for doing what is right.
Okay.
They could have left it, but they chose not to. So it's an indication that it has a self-righting process with a defense when it matters most in order to do what is right and justified.
Okay. Now, let's look at the information gap. Through the registration process, people were told that there are cases where you make fresh registrations, and for others, it's revalidation. I know that we had, you know, interviews here at the station, and we played our own part. However, a lot of people claim that they did not know about this. As a matter of fact, many people reached out to say that it was when they got to the centers that, you know, they heard from someone. Some said they had even already registered. So many people claim that they did not get the information as to whether or not they needed a fresh registration or they needed to revalidate. So would you blame INEC for not doing enough in disseminating this information?
It is easy to blame people for the faults of ours. I believe that INEC has done what it should ought to do in terms of enlightenment. They relied on the mass media, they relied on the social media, they relied on all channels that are available in terms of communication to reach out to the people. And there were the do's and there were the don'ts, you know. And I can imagine that somebody who has already registered, going back to register again. How can you play an echo that tendency? Particularly when also on the streets, in the newspapers, on broadcast channels, everywhere, there were attempts by the Enlightenment Department of INEC to enlighten the people on what they should do and not do. And so I find it difficult to completely place the blame on INEC. Engaging an enlightenment process and the people are not listening to you, who would you blame? Would you say that the content of the message was not such that was understood? Would you say that they didn't do enough? You do what you have to do. Of course, you know, frankly, that as media practitioners, we also do appreciate the fact that sometimes I could noise in the channel. That's also a part of the communications tool. So, for some reason, foul of the rules of engagement, cannot turn around and blame INEC. Which is why it is important going forward that we pay great attention to education. Because if people are properly educated and enlightened, some of these errors won't happen. But give and take, if you look at the process, look at what INEC is doing to create public confidence in the process. That they, for me, that the commission is doing the best that it can to ensure that the process is smooth, that the process is clean, that it is fair and just to all concerned.
All right. Well, we'll take a break in about 2-3 minutes. Coming up next, we'll be talking about the allegations by the CUPP, the Coalition of United People's Party, what they're saying INEC has done and what they think needs to be done to make it better. But before we get there, we'd like to hear from you. Now, the question is, do you have confidence in INEC's ability to conduct free, fair and credible elections? Call the number 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. 0817-923-0007. Of course, WhatsApp is 0809-03-06-416. So you can also drop messages on our Facebook and Twitter. We are live, so you watch as you listen. It's facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. Please turn off your radio as you call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, my brother Samuel Rako.
Good morning. What's your name?
Chinke Daniel Imogate.
Go ahead, Chinke Daniel. State.
Yes. No confidence. I have lost every confidence in what INEC is doing.
Why?
You can imagine what happened with Abadio. You know, in their, that one is complied with our judiciary. And if you, even during the primary, people bought their way. So how can I trust INEC this time around?
No, no, hold on. What happened with Abadio?
Actually, I have lost confidence. That this is why when they say to be changed, I have completely lost hope. And we watch them what they are going to do in 2023. No hope. Chinke Daniel Imogi.
Chinke Daniel, well, you didn't give context there, but you clearly stated that you have lost faith thanks to what happened to Akpabio. Good morning, Sam AJ from Rumosi. I don't trust INEC to conduct free and fair elections with the recent deregistration of Nigeria voters from their portal. An independent body as big as INEC cannot tell me their system cannot detect people who have registered before. Even, and he mentions a particular system here, can tell you that you have used a particular number before, likewise several other platforms. When you impute an email you've used before. So I'm skeptical. So basically, database issues. And that's why you don't trust INEC. After the break, we talk some more. Stay with us.
Politicking.
Track the politics.
Listen to the candidates.
Keep tabs on their campaign promises.
Follow the views of those who agree.
And the reviews of those who don't.
Understand the outcomes.
On Road 2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info. You are on Road to 2023.
Welcome back. It still is Road to 2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sam Oracle Chinedu. This morning we're looking at INEC in focus ahead of the 2023 elections. My question, a simple one, do you have confidence in INEC's ability to conduct free, fair and credible elections? My guest is Mr. Obunnawuke. He's a journalist, newspaper publisher and public affairs analyst. Began his career as a broadcast journalist in 1978. Served as director of press affairs to governor, was a commissioner and of course a former member of the National Assembly. You're welcome once again, Mr. Muke. All right. So we were talking earlier about the over 1 million deregistered registrations, invalid. And someone was asking, why can INEC not detect people who have registered before? Now, there is an explanation to that, of course, as given by the INEC spokesperson, Festus Okoye. He says, we have the capacity to detect double and multiple registrants at the point of registration using our voter enrollment device. However, we made a determination not to enable the device because it will take some time searching through the database of 84 million registered voters and that will keep people on the queue for too long. So we decided not to enable it at the point of registration in order to speed up the process. So Mr. Muke, what do you make of Mr. Okoye's explanation as to why these registrants were not detected at the point of registration?
I think that, first of all, we must commend INEC for its attempt to go digital. Because you can imagine what could have happened if we were still at that analog level where things could be easily manipulated. Of course, you know there are human factors. Whether that is an attempt by some person to read the process, whether it is an attempt as a result of poor enlightenment to do what is not supposed to be done. All of these are the human factor. And somehow, who should be saying that we are lucky enough to have a situation where we can look at what we have and remedy it in the error. So I think that clearly we shouldn't be crucifying INEC for doing what is right. Didn't you say it's better to be late than be late? And what we do have here shows that INEC is alert and that it doesn't give room to undue manipulations by anyone for that reason. So we should be doing that. Well, errors could have been made, and it's got to be made. Of course, for those who do the social science studies, there always will be probability. You know, that things could go right or go wrong. But I think Okoye and his colleagues in INEC have not so much, you know, to give credence to the electoral process. The results that have come from Anambra, that have come from Edo, that have come from Oso, that have come from all over in the election that we've had to conduct recently, indicates that there is strong effort on the part of those who are paddling with the possibility of organizing elections to ensure that we do have clean processes that
would
lead to the election of leaders in this country.
All right. Now, Mr. Uke, I doubt that people are crucifying INEC. I think, if anything, they are actually demanding accountability. It's not a case of wanting to call INEC a bad name. Because if you think about it, let's think about this process. INEC now has said that over 1 million registrations are invalid. Wouldn't it have been better to have spotted this thing at the point of registration so that people do not have to go through this stress, as against now giving us over 1 million registrations as invalid and saying that you did not do it because you wanted to speed up the process? I mean, what would have been a better option to tackling this problem?
We'll leave that to researchers, clearly. You know that, of course, let's look at you as someone who is a researcher who has to go up samples in order to conduct appropriate research, and then something goes wrong. You've drawn up your strategy for investigation, and what happens eventually is that you begin to, when you have gotten the data and you are beginning to analyze those data, you begin to isolate them one by one. And I think that's what they have done. It's rational, it's reasonable. Well, like I said earlier, it's better to be late than be late. And I think that INEC has done what it should do. We should rather be saying that INEC has put some weight behind the data that they have, some weight behind the aspirations of the young people to do have the process that is clean and usable. So that's my take. I believe that it's not late at this point in time. We would have gone to an election with 1 million fake voters. But now we have a situation where we have 1 million fake voters removed from the register. And we should rather be saying that INEC has a keen eye. Because they do have one, they have rather added value to the electoral process.
All right. And still talking about fake registrations, the Coalition of United Political Parties, CUPP, displayed extracts of the National Voter Register, where it claimed it was a part of at least 10 million fake registrations done by one of the political parties. INEC, of course, responded, stating that the process of completing the register was still ongoing and objections are part of the process. What do you make of that allegation by the CUPP and, of course, the response by INEC?
Well, I think that it is right of individuals to express themselves. That's why it goes to organizations that have clear courts that what has happened has not happened properly. But I think we should focus our attention more on what's going on is that there is an attempt to put the wheat from the chaff.
Okay.
And if that's what it takes, we should rather encourage INEC at this time to do what is right, in order to put some weight on the confidence that Nigerian people have. The Nigerian people are saying that their votes will count. And that's why quite a lot of people are registered, you know. So that's my take.
All right. So phone conversation becomes live in the studio. Welcome, Mr. Wuke.
Thank you so much.
All right. So still focusing on INEC, of course. I'm glad that you're here. Now I feel like I have more questions than I had before you came in. All right. So somehow, you know, through a major part of the conversation, and I know that you're doing as much as you can, but it really does seem like you have been in the defense of INEC. We're going to get shortly to the financial aspect of it, whether or not INEC has enough at its disposal financially to do what it needs to do. But let me take a few comments. On Facebook, remember we are live. It's facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. Thank God Ability Atuibu says, after the 2023 general elections, Nigerians will know if INEC has done what they told Nigerians. For now, okay. For now, we cannot conclude if INEC has the credibility to conduct the elections until after the elections. Also, Francis Namani, who's watching live from Enugu State, says, good morning. Nigeria's destiny is in the hands of INEC. In this regard, the electoral umpire should endeavor to conduct credible and transparent polls come 2023 to save Nigeria from total collapse. May God help us. And Namani, thank you very much. But there are parts of that where we need to help ourselves. Adindu Okere on Facebook as well says, good morning, Samaroko Chinedu. I salute the brother in the studio, Sir Obunna Yanwuke. This is Distinguished Temple Okere. With immediate alacrity, as he usually says, I want to let you know that I have lost confidence in the credibility of INEC to conduct free, fair, and credible elections, since they cannot even confirm which fingerprint is fake or not. So it's sad that INEC is not ready to do the needful. All right, let's take some calls. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name?
My name is Richard.
All right, Richard. Please go ahead.
Richard Mogu.
Okay.
Yeah. Calling from NHA.
All right.
Yes. I salute my brother there. Let me salute him. What kind of chicken? What kind of chicken?
Kankam.
INEC, for me, I've lost confidence in them. But if you can promise us to monitor them, I can believe INEC.
If who can promise?
Because
you?
Look at this 1 million voters listed by INEC. Can you confirm where they come from? Do you know where that was? Simbasi Forest. Okay, look at us here in River State. Our people here queue up on day tonight, nobody. But in what put in Nawa or Ifugi or Atmawa, Kano, what people, they have 3 machines. I have talked with confidence. I've got a school in North.
Were you?
So here in River State, one pulling boots will be for 10 villages.
Hello, I want to say one
machine will be for 10 villages. Is it fair? So please,
all right, please, when you call, as much as we give a platform to share what you have, it's important you listen as well, because there might be questions for you along the way. Many more questions on WhatsApp. Good morning, Oracle and Obunewuke. INEC is in order. When I visited INEC office to register my daughter, I saw many people complaining about their registration cancelled due to multiple registrations. Most of the problems we have in Nigeria regarding INEC, NIMC, International Passport and Driver's License, are caused by average Nigerians who do not want to do things properly, Barry Johnson says. Now, I'll get back to my guest shortly, but let me tell you what would warrant an invalid registration. One, double or multiple registrations when an individual who's previously registered to vote does so again. Two, visibly underage, a person who's not up to 18 registering, naturally that will be invalidated. And of course, what INEC calls suspicious registrations. If in their own terms it feels suspicious, then by the powers they have, they will invalidate it. And Okoye went on to say that some already registered persons from 2011 had some feeling that their PVC had expired, and they don't know where they got that information. All right, so let me get back to my guest. I mean, so okay, you have, I mean, showed a lot of faith in INEC through your answers. You're talking about how well they tried. I mean, you even said they did well by digitizing the system. I don't think I'm completely comfortable with that, because the world is going digital. If INEC does not move along with it, you know, we would have a lot of things to say. So I don't think the fact that they are trying to catch on is something to be impressed by.
Yeah, I think that we ought to. When you talk in terms of development, you're talking in terms of either rapid or progressive development.
All right.
And frankly, of course, you're talking in terms of the laws too. You remember when INEC introduced the card reading machine, you had what the court said at that time, that yes, they had a right under the law establishing them to lay the foundation.
Okay.
But that existing laws did not permit it. That was in 2015. Quite a lot of arguments in the courts. Now, but going forward, the Electoral Act has been reviewed.
Mm.
Going forward, INEC has... I can tell you that they've even gotten to a point where you can vote from your phone. But until the laws accept that, they'll not be able to implement that. You understand? So... when I talked about the effort to digitalize, I was just saying we're beginning to travel on the route to what you can consider global best practices.
Okay.
And because we are doing all of that, uploading results when we should, making sure that everybody votes when and how, then results that are coming from the field are becoming increasingly trustworthy. And I think it would be wrong going forward that we will rather invest fears about the competence of an organization that has presided over elections. Remember, before this time, it would have been impossible for another political party to win an election. So they've done something about incumbency, the power of incumbency, and the power of the people. And the power of the people have proved that, yes, in 2015, PDP lost an election. And the people won. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I think that what we need to do going forward, let's not criticize because we want to, but let's criticize where there is real reason so to do. Now, for me, I think that going forward, we do have very strong reasons to invest some confidence in the role of the electoral umpire. And it makes sense. My people have come from Eche, and there's an Eche saying, "Okanon anuma fomelu." Now, let me translate that. What does it mean? That you cannot have issues with an idea that have not even been discussed.
Okay.
You know, so I think that we must, if we agree that the elections in Edo was credible, if we agree that the election in Osun was credible, if we agree that the election in Anambra was credible, then we should agree that credible efforts have been made to ensure in 2023 that the elections outcome are also credible.
I think I like the way you coined that. Credible efforts. We can speak for the effort, not the outcome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking about what is to come, hashtag Occupy INEC. This is a movement, a planned protest, actually, by Nigerian netizens. That seems to be the term to describe those who live on the internet. To take to INEC offices. It started on Twitter. It's been fixed for the 27th of September, which is in 10 days. The aim is to storm the head office of the Independent National Electoral Commission to demand clarity. And not just the headquarters, but different INEC offices across Nigeria. Do you see this as the best way, or maybe not the best way, a good way of Nigerians demanding accountability of INEC by going to their offices and asking questions that deserve answers?
It still comes under picketing. Frankly, in a democracy, the right to say yes or to say no is guaranteed. The voice of dissent. Those who think that storming INEC would be the best thing to do to the extent that they do so peacefully within the norms of law, that's nothing wrong. They're asking for an explanation. They deserve to be clearly informed.
Okay.
And so there's nothing wrong with that. But when you go out there to INEC, please do note that acting in a manner that will be unlawful, acting in a manner that would disrupt processes that have been laid out, destroy data that's already been accumulated, will be the wrong thing to do.
All right. We're still taking your thoughts. We're live on Facebook and Twitter, so drop your comments on those platforms. Lali Miller says, your guest sees nothing wrong with INEC's errors. Precious Nekabari, good morning. The rigging of next year's election is now showing obviously. Wow, that's quite conclusive. And Miller says, once again, please ask your guest on phone, why was INEC requesting for NIN as part of registration? And yet they are complaining of double registration. Well, Okoye has attempted to answer the question around the invalidation. It says they did not do anything about it because they wanted to speed up the process. Iyobu Frank, we hope and pray for better INEC this time around because the INEC of 2015 compromised in many ways. I think that has not been proven to a reasonable conclusion, and so the integrity of the commission is still questionable. How do you intend to build on this? Nigerians are scared if their votes will even count. Ezichi Eberi, good morning. I think INEC will be an incredible umpire in this election. Why will they deactivate their machine from running deep search on people's information on their databases? So wouldn't have this case of multiple registration. And Prince Will, if we have confidence in INEC, then INEC should allow us to vote anywhere in Nigeria, but not to vote twice. Then I cannot trust INEC. Lots of concerns there. Let's take one call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my name is Comrade Tambari Sunday, President, the time and tone for River Southeast.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. As regard to this discussion on INEC voters registration, I want to revise a little on the present situation now that INEC is giving out voters cards to voters.
Okay.
The reason why sometimes it looks as if people do not trust INEC is because of the way and manner they go about handling this affair. The last time when they were doing the registration, they find it difficult that people could not be able to come to their stations, their office to come and do registration. Being that people cannot be able to pay transport fare from their respective communities to the INEC office. And we stated that INEC should make it a little bit possible for people to come and register by going to those communities. It's like INEC is scared when we talk about going to some of these wards and communities to carry out this responsibility. It's like they're scared. But you will see, I don't know, because I want to ask, part of what I want to ask is that if INEC find it difficult to go to wards and communities to conduct some of these their responsibilities, what would they do when there will be time for election? Because it's like they are afraid of going to the wards because of the problem. Are they telling us that when it will be time for election, they will not go to those wards and conduct election? That is one of my major questions.
Well, let's take just one because we don't have all the time in the world. 3 minutes separates us from the next break. Now, Mr. Nwoke, he speaks about what he sees as a visible challenge of INEC, the inability to do, you know, what he claims needs to be done. And that brings up the money conversation. Every election year, INEC's appropriation almost doubles. I had the former resident electoral commissioner on radio, on this program actually, and Mr. Oboy Fanga. And I asked, does INEC get enough? The money appropriated to INEC, is it enough to do the job? And he said no, that they needed a whole lot more because the technology, the this, the that. Now, if INEC is clearly asking for specific figures, as a matter of fact, for this election, they asked for 305 billion naira. And it took 189 billion to conduct the last elections. They claim that the cost per voter was fixed at $6.24 at the exchange rate of 305 naira. Naturally, with the current exchange rate, it should be higher. Is this money, does it seem like, let me ask the question differently. I'm trying not to get emotional while asking the question.
Yes, I understand that.
So, does INEC have enough at its disposal, simply put, to do its job financially?
Well, I read a little bit of economics growing up, and resources are always scarce.
Okay.
And so you need to apply yourself within that which is possible. Now, if we were to spend all the money we have in this country just conducting elections, Nigeria would just not move forward. Is that opportunity cost to us as a nation,
okay,
and the opportunity cost to INEC as a commission that we should be talking about at this time. It's not money that does everything. Ingenuity plays a role as well.
But INEC makes the request. There's a budget. Yeah,
yes, I do know. Yeah. Maybe that's having budgets are prepared. But it's not all that you ask for in a budget you get. That's the truth. Now, for me, some people have said here that I'm supporting INEC. I'm not. I'm just supporting a situation on ground.
Okay.
I'm not a spokesperson for INEC. But I think that we must invest hope going forward in our democracy for it to work.
All right. Well, we have a break coming up. After that, of course, we wrap up the conversation. Stay with us. Welcome back. It still is Road to 2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info. We are down to our very final minute. I still have my guest, Mr. Wunna Wuke, in the studio with me, and we're looking at INEC. Conclusively, sir, what does INEC need to do to restore the hope and confidence of people in its ability to conduct credible elections come 2023?
I think that, first of all, INEC needs to step up its communications. As we say in the communication study, when there is noise in the channel, there's a lot of distortion.
Yeah.
Now, those who think that because INEC allowed the process to continue and later removed the wheat from the chaff, that INEC cannot be trusted as a result, are building on that kind of thinking. Now, my take is that well, you decide how you want to run a project, whether you from the outset spend more time trying to exterminate distortions, or whether you perhaps go ahead with the process and have enough time after the process is over to go through what you have in terms of data and exterminate those that shouldn't be. Now, but that the choice will be yours. Now, but having said that, I also think that INEC must focus intensely on its objective. We should not allow distractions. At this point in time, there are people who, if you allow them, who want to distract INEC. Now, where we have come, we're talking about best practices, and quite a lot of people think, not just me, that INEC has done well, at least in the last elections, maybe because they are staggered elections. Well, the bulk of the elections coming in 2023, so that will be much more challenging. And we hope that its functionaries will be strong enough, focused enough, you know, to deliver the goods to the Nigerian people.
All right, so we're back to the position of hoping. Thank you very much, Mr. Wuke, for your time.
Thank you, too.
We truly appreciate it. Well, thanks for being a part of Road to 2023. It happens every Saturday at 8 a.m., where we talk about elections, the candidates, and everything in between.